Let's look at John chapter 17, please. John chapter 17. Now, what I want to think with you about is the Lord Jesus as the pattern steward, and it will cover some of these same needs that you have just been listening to, and I would like to say that what you have just been listening to has a tremendous amount of applicability to most of us in our assembly life. There are many assemblies who experience struggles that go on for years. And there is so much mistrust that builds up that we build such walls and we assume we know what each other is up to. And it's so hard to break that down. So I trust that you will not forget what you've just listened to. It's extremely important. And what I'm going to look at hopefully will confirm some of that same emphasis in that the Lord Jesus, as being our pattern, he has shown us the way to care for the people of God, to be faithful to the Father, to uphold the truth of God, and to not lose any that belong to him. Let's look at John chapter 17. Verse 1, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Let's drop down to verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of or from thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more or no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through or in thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 22 says, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And you notice how verse 26 ends, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, most of the time when we look at this chapter, we think of it as being the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. And it clearly is that. It is clearly anticipating the ministry which he fulfills for us today. It's precious to think that the Lord Jesus is pausing at the gate between earth and heaven. He's about to leave this world. He's leaving behind those that are very precious to him. He wants them to be preserved. He wants the work to continue, which he has initiated with them. And he is deliberately praying to the Father in their hearing so that we will get the benefit of knowing his interest, of experiencing his care, of his intercession for us. But first of all, there's an aspect of stewardship that I want to touch on, and that is that he is here giving account to the Father. It is the termination of his stewardship here in this world. He is transferring from earth to glory to the Father's presence. And he is transferring responsibility to us. So it's an extremely important chapter. I want to think with you about four areas of responsibility that he speaks of having fulfilled. The first one is to the name of God. And it says in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name. And verse 26, I have declared unto them thy name. And I'm going to suggest that it is in the relationship as the Son that he fulfills this primary aspect of stewardship, which is also parallel to us, of glorifying God. Then the second aspect is the work of God. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And that is in the relationship as servant. I have finished the work. Wouldn't you love to be able to say that in his presence someday? The work that you gave me to do, I completed it. I did it. Then the third aspect is the word of God. And this is as the teacher. And he says, I have given them thy words, verse 8. And then verse 14, I have given them thy word. And then the fourth aspect of responsibility is to the people of God, and that is in the capacity as a shepherd. I have kept those whom thou hast given me, is repeated. Verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 12, verse 24. Those whom thou hast given me out of the world, I have kept, I have guarded. And so these are four areas of responsibility which come upon us in the work of God. Some more directly in assembly service, but all of us share some aspect of these responsibilities. And I want to just look at each one of them. I want you to think about the very first stewardship that we have. Now, when I use the word stewardship, I'm thinking of something that has been entrusted into my care and my responsibility. We use the modern day word manager and management, which is the best equivalent. And so Christ is our pattern as the faithful steward. You see, each one of us at some moment are going to be on the threshold of eternity. I can't believe how fast every month goes by. I remember when I was a child, a year seemed like an endless, endless time. Now I look back and I think, well, that's a couple of years ago, and I find out it's 6 or 7 years ago. Either I'm getting slower and can't keep up to time, or time is speeding up. I'm becoming more conscious. The last 20 years of my life have just evaporated, and I hardly know what I've done in it. Another 20 years? Do I have another 20 years? I don't know. But the moment is coming in my life, just as it is coming in each one of our lives, when we are going to be at this point, we're going to have to let go our sphere of responsibility here. We're going to transfer into the realm of glory. I wonder what kind of impact and influence we are going to leave. I wonder if there will be anything to pick up and carry from what we've been doing, or will it not be noticed? Here is the Lord Jesus as the supreme servant of God, as the Son of God. He has come to the terminus of his stewardship here. And I want you to think, first of all, about what it means to glorify God on the earth. Now, I've tried to take this subject up a number of times through the years, the subject of stewardship, and it keeps getting larger and larger all the time. But I have learned this, that my greatest and first responsibility is to manifest the character of God. So regardless of who you are, what relationships you are in, what your roles in life are, you have this first responsibility, this first relationship, to bring God out into honorable display, to make him known. If it could be said of your life at its close, he or she glorify God, that would be the highest commendation that could ever be ascribed to a life. That God was honored, that God's character was displayed, that people could glimpse what the Lord is really like through that life. That would be the greatest thing. And I've also come to appreciate very deeply that it is in the relationship as Son to the Father that we are called upon to do this. It is not that God is some distant force that is just imposing something on our lives. No, it is in the wonder of this relationship. He's my Father. And I love him. I want to serve him. I want to please him. That is the attitude and the character of the Lord as he approaches this moment and he says, Father, the hour has come. The hour has come. What kind of anticipation do you have of the future? Can we even imagine what it is going to be in his presence forever? But what are we leaving behind? I have glorified thee. Every attitude the Savior expressed was a true reflection of God's faithfulness, of his honesty, of his integrity, of his compassion, of his holiness. I have glorified thee on the earth. Then he says, I have manifested thy name. And again, I think this is really in the same vein, where to manifest somebody's name is to bring that person's character out into true representation. You know, every one of us carry a name of some kind. As soon as we become known by people, they have a certain association with what we are, what we stand for, what we represent. And the name carries all of that. It's not just a name tag to identify you. It is what you are. And he says, I have manifested thy name. And that name supremely in the New Testament is the name Father. Every one of us who are fathers, what kind of fatherhood do we express? Do we manifest? Does it correspond to the Father and his true character? So that is our greatest and our first responsibility, directly to God, to represent him, to manifest him. And then he says in verse 4 again, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. When I think back in my own experience, it is at times filled with good intentions, but unfulfilled accomplishment. And it's a hard thing at times looking back. I thought about this just last year in May when we moved after 22 years in the area of Timmins and moved to Sudbury. And there was a wave of regrets came over my heart as I thought about all that time that I have spent in that city with that assembly and the work in that region and what I wish I had accomplished. We are not always going to be here. And we are not always going to be where we are actively serving God. We only have a passing season to be with the people that we are with now. And God does impress upon us a need to be a help to other people, to fulfill his purposes, his work, his service in the assembly and to people around us. What a thing to be able to say, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. But you notice also he speaks about the Word of God. Part of that work, a very primary part of that work, involved the truth of God. And really, through the Lord Jesus, the greatest revelation of God has been given to mankind. This is God's final revelation. This is his ultimate revelation of himself. Everything up till then had been piecemeal, partial, incomplete, progressive, leading up to the coming of the Son of God from heaven. But now in the Lord Jesus, God in his fullness is put out into display. God in his greatness, in his completeness, in all that he is made known and made near to us. And the Lord Jesus himself is the Word of God. But he says very specifically, I have given them thy words. I have given them thy word in its totality. I appreciate every brother and every sister who has a desire and a willingness to devote themselves to knowing the Word of God, to studying the Scriptures, to be equipped to help the people of God to know God's mind, to teach the people of God. That is a tremendous responsibility, a tremendous need today. And he says, I have given them thy words. It has been mentioned, it is really only the Word of God that will ultimately keep the people of God, and that will form godly character. It's His truth. So may we appreciate and value this aspect of His work, the teaching of the Word of God. It's going to demand sacrifice. It's going to demand other things being left undone, set aside, in order to devote yourself to knowing God, to knowing His Word, to be equipped to teach and to help God's people. But the last one I wanted to emphasize is the Lord Jesus as the shepherd. And I suppose some of my recent activity in trying to help some of the Lord's people, where there has been some long-standing assembly divisiveness and problems between overseers and the flock, that has brought a tremendous burden and anguish to my own heart in the aspect of shepherding. How does the Lord Jesus express it? Notice what he says. First of all, he emphasizes those whom thou hast given me. There is an acknowledgement of an entrusting, that God has entrusted his people into my care. That should have a significant impact on the way we handle the people of God. But you know what happens when there's conflict? We become isolated. We become distant. The care doesn't show through. And the care sometimes becomes extinguished. And I remember, this is going back a few years now, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, when one couple had left an assembly, and a younger brother went to one of the overseers to express his concern for why that couple had left, because they were very valuable people. And the elder's abrupt response was, well, the Lord's cleaning house. To me, that is tragic. And it's no wonder there's still problems there. If we do not care, we shouldn't dare to take leadership. It is not a position to grasp for, to have power over people. But it is a precious stewardship, responsible to the Lord Himself, to care for those that are so precious to Him. That must be our heart, our attitude. Those that you have given me out of the world. But you notice what he does say in his prayer to the Father in verse 11. He says, Holy Father, keep through or in thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. What does that mean? Well, I would like to suggest that to keep the Lord's people in his name means more than just keeping them in the assembly. It means to keep them in fellowship with God and what God is. Now, most of the time, we're struggling enough just to keep God's people together. And I've often heard this, well, yeah, that doesn't look like they're very interested, but at least they're here. And we're almost to the point of being just satisfied that they're still there. This is a much higher calling. To keep them, to preserve them in fellowship with God. In fellowship with what God is. And that is the true challenge of shepherding. Not just to keep people loyal to the assembly, but to keep them serving God. To keep them in the flock where God is glorified, with a desire to follow Him. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have guarded. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Again, in the Lord's work that I've been involved in, most of the years have been in new work, where there have been new assemblies established, and where part of the responsibility for us as laborers has immediately been shepherding. As I think back over the years, I think back to how many professed to be saved, how many came into fellowship, and how many are still there. And you always have to wonder, could we have kept more? Could we have protected more? Could we have preserved more? If we had been more diligently watching over them, noticing when they're faltering, noticing when they're becoming ill, when they're becoming cold, or do we just mark them off as they leave? May it never be. But that we would seek with all our heart to protect them from evil, to sustain them, to secure them, to keep them in His name, in harmony, in fellowship with God. We are going to give account. I'm going to have to give account. Did I just stand by and watch them go and sit back? Or did I seek them? Did I strive to save them, to rescue them? Now, there's a second aspect of this that I'm not going to go into now. But really, there's a second way of looking at the chapter, relating more to the high priestly ministry. And that is, as the Lord Jesus has transferred to glory, He is still deeply interested in us. And a second aspect of looking at the chapter is Christ in glory as the hidden source of our service, our stewardship. And the focus there becomes not giving account to the Father, fulfilling responsibility, but giving access to the Father of the relationship of eternal life, of cultivating that life, that closeness, that relationship, so that we might genuinely live out our lives out from a living source, a divine source of a relationship with the eternal God who is working through our lives. The glory, He says, that thou hast given me, I have given them. Dear brother, dear sister, the Lord Jesus is working to bring you into glory, to bring you to perfection, to bring you to completeness. And I believe at the end of the chapter where He refers to this, He is thinking primarily of the glory of relationship, of the love that is shared. There is no one that loves you like the Lord. But that love is commensurate with the love of the Father for the Son. That's the love that has embraced you. May God so fill our hearts from this living, hidden source that we might actually be a living expression of Himself.